The federal budget development process for 2016 is looking a lot like the last decade's worth or so of budget work, messy and potentially demanding on federal managers. Joining me with advice for coping is someone who's been through decades worth of budget cycles. Doug Criscitiello was the chief financial officer at Housing and Urban Development. Now he's executive director of the Center for Finance and Policy at MIT. Doug, good morning. Great to have you on.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you?
Okay, so my first question is, we know that after government, you went to Grant Thornton. Now you are at MIT. Are you up in Cambridge at the other end of the Smoot Bridge from Boston?
I absolutely am talking to you from Cambridge this morning. I am still collaborating with Grant Thornton to improve federal financial management and budgeting, but most of my time these days is going to be spent helping MIT set up a center to look at issues at the intersection of really of banking and government. We're very focused on serving as a catalyst for nonpartisan research to address the challenges facing governments in their role as financial institutions and as regulators of the financial system.
All right. Well, pretty soon the snow will be off the lawn and you can get outside up there a little bit. Right. I know they still have it up there. So you're talking here about this morning, we're talking about the budget process and kind of what it demands of federal managers until such time as Congress signs their name to a budget, correct?
Yeah, I think we're in for, you know, you use the word messy. I think the budget process is messy by design because it requires buy-in from multiple executive branch and legislative branch stakeholders. But it's really essential for federal workers to understand the process and to know how to influence it ultimately.
Because what they have submitted that gets eventually rolled, well, first it goes through the OMB mill and then it gets rolled up into the president's request. That seems like a long process, but that's really only the beginning, correct?
Yeah, it really is. So we start with a lot of details. So the agencies develop really the foundation. If we're building a large building each year, a large fiscal building, the agencies are developing what is really the foundation, right? The core spending that's required each year to keep government operational. And then building on it, so then from we all agree pretty much on the platform, it becomes what do the blueprints look like to build the rest of the structure? And I think the policy proposals contained in the president's budget, along with the House and Senate versions of budget resolutions, are competing blueprints for the building.
All right. So as a federal manager who might be caught in all of this crossfire, what should those people do to kind of keep up with what's going on and try to make sure that their programs get the attention they feel they should?
Well, I have a few suggestions. One, I think that it's imperative that federal managers really understand the budget process and build bridges to the budget community, no matter where you work within an agency. I think we're entering an era over the next decade or two where the budget process is going to be even more important than it's been over the past couple of decades, which is really saying something. So build bridges, you know, the extreme case would become a budget wonk of your own, but it's important. And work with your budget officers, with your CFOs, to ensure that you're doing everything that you might be able to do. And in that spirit, another bit of advice that I give to agencies is to, here's a reference for me about what's going on early this week. It's opening day for baseball, and I think it's important for agencies to essentially play money ball to show which programs are worthy of taxpayer dollars. The move, it's becoming increasingly important for agencies to use evidence-based decision-making to propose their budgets for each year. The folks on the Hill and at OMB want to see data and analysis demonstrating that programs work. Given our budgetary environment, we definitely don't want to be throwing money at programs that have no chance for success.
And, of course, you know, sometimes even all of the analysis in the world may run counter to what someone in Congress feels is philosophically what they want to do. And so when what are the right protocols for someone who's a federal manager, even a high-level one? What's the protocols for talking not so much with the member, but with the staff who really does all the groundwork there? If you're a career person, when can you talk to congressional staff, and when should you leave that to people that, for whom that's what they do all the time?
Yeah, it's a delicate balancing act, I think, because, look, technically, all of the agencies up on the Hill are there to be supporters of the president's program each year. But, as I indicated earlier, agents, there are multiple stakeholders that impact agencies, including the Congress, importantly, the Congress. And staff at agencies need to build relationships with colleagues they have up on the Hill, both in the appropriations subcommittees and in their authorizing committees. So, you have to... My recipe has always been build relationships with those individuals so to have an informal relationship, or able to talk to them freely, get together with coffee and share stories about what's going on. And the formal role, you're going to be sort of playing according to Hoyle. You're going to be following the president's program, providing testimony. But I think it's important to have both an informal and the formal relationship.
We're speaking with Doug Criscitiello. He's executive director of the Center for Finance and Policy at MIT. And earlier you mentioned Moneyball, where that's predicated on the idea of looking for value and not just price. And so that would seem to say to federal managers, you want to find the most efficient programs. And so how do you go about that? I mean, a lot of people don't really have a good handle on what it costs to run their program, when the metric is, can you get all the dollars out the door?
Yeah, well, it is. And not all programs are equally situated. We have better data for some programs than forever. I have a bit of a recipe that I've been encouraging agencies to follow, where I beat the baseball metaphor to death. But I've encouraged agencies to warm up first, to start with programs with good data, and use a limited approach for a few budget cycles and then scale up. I've also encouraged agencies to get a good umpire, at least act like an umpire in judging their programs. Be dispassionate. You can be passionate about your agency's mission, but be dispassionate about the individual programs that you're looking at. I mean, what's out there, what's working and what isn't? And I also always say, make sure you catch the easy pop-ups. I mean, there are redundant programs around government, and they've got to go. I mean, the budget situation mandates that we can't have, we can't have too many players playing the same position. So agencies should be using data and analytics to unwind these redundancies across government.
And so if you have a pop-up and you see a guy named Ian Desmond coming for it, then your program's probably in a lot of trouble, judging from our opening day yesterday. But
yeah, that's right.
I'm digressing. Right. Boston did all right against Philadelphia, though, so you should be happy up there in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they're happy up here, but I'm a Yankees fan, so we lost, too.
Oh, well, all right. Well, anyway, I could talk for hours about that one. But I wanted to ask you, too, because sometimes for even as low as the senior executive service members, that is starting from the cabinet secretaries and working down, there are hearings involved in this process. And so what can, especially again, focusing on career people, what are some good ways to prepare for a hearing? Because sometimes they can get rough and sometimes questions can come out of the blue there.
Yeah, once again, I mean, moving into the formal context, I think it's imperative that agencies conform to the president's program and the budget that's pending on the Hill. You can get beat up at a hearing, but the executive branch is what it is. Everyone there works for the president, and folks should really be towing the administration line. I think more challenging is when you're forced to sit down in an informal setting. And you may have to, I don't want to say cut deals, but you may find yourself in a negotiation where staff are asking, well, you can't have it the way the president's proposed. I'll give you two alternative ways you might be able to be funded. Yeah, it's difficult to say, no, I won't take either of those if I can't get the president's budget. So I don't really have any magic elixir on that front. It's difficult. It's a difficult process. And, you know, agencies just, again, have to push to get as close to the budget request as they can, but compromise are needed.
And I guess if you're getting into negotiation on something as high level as a policy, maybe if your career, you ought to say, you know, that's above my pay grade to go against or to try to negotiate something other than what is proposed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to policy, I agree with that. I mean, sometimes it comes down to you're talking about the number of people to fund in a particular unit. It's not really lofty policy. Although, interestingly, the budget resolutions that have passed the House or in play in both the House and Senate that have to go to committee, they are just chock full of high-level policy pronouncements. And it's going to be interesting to see how they get translated into actual near-term legislation for the 2016 fiscal year.
And I guess so, even if you are a program manager and you think you know what's going on, it's probably a good idea to read those documents anyhow to make sure that what you thought you understood actually is what got into the document that the president submitted.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those documents are really setting the terms of the budget debate, but you know, you have to keep in mind that they're policy statements. And you have to view them through a political lens, just like the policy portions of the president's budget.
Well, I guess that's what everybody signed up for when they took this kind of work.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's what makes government work interesting. You know, we're not just trying to sell copiers. You know, this is definitely multivariate. So many different factors coming into play.
All right. Doug Criscitiello is Executive Director of the Center for Finance and Policy at the MIT and also former HUD Chief Financial Officer. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Doug.